We begin anew. This fall, we head into a couple of new series, heading out of our Faith in Real Life series, where we got to hear from real people, from you, about how faith affects your living. We're headed into a new series now, first about where we're going to share two stories about Bible people, one about Abraham and one about Jeremiah. But before we do that, I want to read the verses we read last week to give us context for why we read these stories today. First, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do with God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, lead me today so that you might lead us from this place into the world which you love, blessing us so that we might be a blessing to others. Amen. As I said there, we're going to be reading two stories this fall. First, we're going to spend about 6 weeks talking about Abraham. Actually, I should say that we're going to spend 6 weeks talking about Abraham and Sarah, because it really takes both of them to tell this story. And in October, we're going to be starting in on Jeremiah. And the question is how to live faith in the world. That's the question we are asking, how to live faith in real life. But before there was Abraham, there was Abram. And so we're going to check up on a little bit of history just to figure out who Abram was. We'll start with Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. Now these are the descendants of Terah. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his birth, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. These verses in Genesis chapter 11 are all we know about Abram. And there's not that much to go on, is there? But there's some stuff that we can glean about his life. First of all, that his father was Terah. And Terah had three sons, of which Abraham was probably the oldest, simply because he was listed first in the order. The youngest died young, before his father died, but he had a son. That son's name was Lot, and he lived with Terah and with Abram and Sarai. They grew up, and he grew up in Ur. At some point after Haran's death, they set out for a land called Canaan. Nahor stayed behind with his wife, but Abram, Sarai, and Lot went out with Terah. But they didn't quite make it all that far. They settled in a place called Haran, the name of his son who he lost. There, his father died. And that left simply Abram, Sarai, and his nephew. That is all we know. That is all of the story. Parts of that story are tragic. And yet, they're somehow ordinary. There's nothing really extraordinary about this family. It's a tale of another family. Yes, it's a family in pain, a lost brother, and a wife who could not have kids, and an aged father just passed away. And they might have been asking questions like, isn't there more to life than this? Isn't there more than just living and dying in lost dreams and relative anonymity? It's kind of an ordinary, everyday sort of story. And it's into that story that God speaks. We'll be picking up with chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oaks of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country, to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. The word of God comes to Abram, and he just says, go. Leave the country you know. Leave your family, leave the home of your father, and walk away. Walk away from the life that you know, the security of the things that you possess, and the familiarity of all that life that you have built here. But that call to go is also a call away from hopelessness, a call away from despair, a call away from the barrenness of life. God says, go to the land that I will show you. Doesn't that seem sort of vague? Go to the land that I will show you. I can tell you I would never get away with that with Amy. As a matter of fact, I can't even get to New Braunfels without Google Maps coming on in the seat next to me to explain how we're going to get there. We have to know not only the destination we're headed to, but we've got to know exactly how we're going to get there, the turns we are going to make. But that's not how this story goes. God says that, imagine that story. Abram walks over to Sarah and says, you know, God's told me we just have to leave this house, take what you can carry, because we're going. And she says, where are we going? And he says, I don't know. How do you think that went over? And the question is, why? Why would Abram go? And the answer is found right here in the text. Because he believed the promises of God. God says, go. He says, go and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and through you all people will be blessed. All families will be blessed. These are God's promises to him. And so Abraham is there, believing God. Not believing in God, because anyone can do that. You see, believing in God is easy, but believing the promises God has for us is so much more difficult. Believing God is at the heart of what the Bible means when it talks about faith. Actually, That's why we're talking about Abram at all. Not because he believed in God, but because he believed God and he went. The New Testament picks up the story of Abraham repeatedly. Here in Galatians 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "So I ask again, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by believing what you have heard?" And so Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. See, God, into the normal, ho-hum, everyday, seemingly hopeless living of life, God says, there is more than this. There is more I have planned for you. Blessing upon blessing so that you can bless others. Do you believe it? Because if you do, you will go. You will leave the ordinary for the blessing. You will leave the barrenness in the hope of the promise. Ultimately, whether we listen to the voice of God is proportionate to how much we believe it when God says, "I will bless you and I will bless others through you." And the Bible does not beat around the bush here when it comes to Abram. It simply says, "So Abram went." So Abram went. He doesn't argue or stamp his feet and wonder about the possibilities. It just says Abram went. And actually, Abram, Sarai, and Lot went. They all went. The question, I guess, that we have to ask is, what in the world does this have to do with us now? This story from long ago, what does it have to do with us right here, right now? Well, this summer, we had the pleasure of hearing Don Arledge's faith story. Before he spoke, however, I asked him how they ended up at the Mariposa Apartments. He told me, "Well, that is Karen's story to tell. It's not mine." So when I started reading and thinking about Abram's story here, I was really curious about how she heard God's call to move to Mariposa. You see, Don and Karen are the Apartment Life Cares team at Mariposa Apartments. Apartment Life is a ministry organization that intentionally places Christian men and women in apartments. They are working there with the apartment administration. They schedule events to build community amongst the people who live there. And they are the sort of spiritual leaders, and though they wouldn't say it, the pastors of the community there. They share their faith and they serve others in the community. For their part, they get to have the apartment rent free. And instead, they get to pay Apartment Life each month for the privilege of serving the people there. While Karen may be hesitant to say it herself, up here at least, I happen to know that their CARES team is the most productive team in the entire region, hosting more events and visiting and meeting with more people more often than any of the other teams around. Over the years, they have served countless meals, held birthday parties, lunches, held other parties just for fun, counseled people, had sunrise services on Easter. They've counseled more people, and sometimes rather poorly, according to Karen. They've brought people to this church. And Dawn has even had the privilege of officiating funerals, all because of their ministry there. I think it's a great example of what it means to live your everyday, walking around, ordinary, sleeping, eating life as an offering to God. But the path from where they were to where they are now is not as clear-cut as you might think. They didn't go seeking out doing this type of ministry. They found themselves where they are through a series of God-directed events. And I just hope that I can do that part of the story justice today. In true form, Karen, when she sat down to talk about this story with me, she started with, "Don doesn't remember things right." She went on to explain her version of how they ended up at this church, correcting Don wherever she saw fit. But that's not the story we're telling today. When they moved here, Don and Karen built a house off McCarty Road. And for 12 years, they lived in that house. It was their retirement home. And it was full of all the things they had collected over the years, memories of a lifetime together. But about 8 years ago, Karen found herself unable to ignore that it was time to make a change. You see, the acreage they had was getting harder to mow, and Karen was not willing to mow it, and Don found himself at the bottom of a ladder, by accident or by foolishness. I don't know, but probably a mixture of both, really. You see, those things certainly figured in, but that wasn't really the main reason why she felt it was time to move. For 3 weeks, every night, she would awaken to a voice saying to her, "You need to go to Mariposa." 3 weeks, every night, the voice would awaken her, and the voice was jarring for her. You see, she and Don had spent years driving past Mariposa, driving right down the road past Hopkins. It's on your right there, and she'd never even stepped foot into the place. But night after night, the voice spoke to her. Now, you might expect that she would mention that voice over coffee, and they might have a spirited debate about the merits of staying in their home. Maybe they would make a pros and cons list and make a decision together through mutual understanding. Nope. You see, Karen kept this totally to herself, never mentioning it, unsure of what Don would say. Until one day, when they're driving past Mariposa, she just matter-of-factly states it as it's already been decided, "We're going to move there." Her insistence led them to visiting this place. And despite the fact that Dawn didn't like the proximity to the mailboxes of the apartment that they saw, she told him, I'm not really sure which, that it was time to list the house. And so they put the house on the market. And within just a few days, within a month after putting the house on the market, the house had sold, and Karen called Mariposa and said, in only the way that Karen can, "You better figure something out quick, because we're coming." This meant that they had to significantly reduce their possessions and leave the house that they loved. And well, in the end, they got that apartment by the mailboxes, despite Don's objections, and they've lived there ever since. But there's still more to that story, because when they got there, they met the Apartment Life Cares team for the first time. And there, the team that was serving there was already in place, and they immediately kind of jumped into helping out whenever they could. But unfortunately, within a few months, that couple was forced to leave that ministry position. You see, the woman got cancer, and she was no longer able to serve in that capacity. And that couple asked Don and Karen, knowing they were Christian, to take over the ministry. And so soon they were caught up in conversations with Apartment Life about joining their ministry, a group that they'd only just recently even heard about and knew what they were up to. In the end, they became the new CARES team, blessing them with a lower rent and a mission right where they lived, to share Christ with everyone who lives at the Mariposa Apartments. And today they would call it nothing short of a blessing. There have been many stories from that ministry over the years, but Karen has one favorite story, and it's about a man named John. You see, Karen loves to cook for people. It's kind of like her love language. Just ask Don. You see, John, though, had a few stints in an ambulance, and was really having trouble with his health. His son came to Karen and said, unless we can get him to eat and get stronger, we're going to have to put him in a nursing home. Every Monday, Karen cooks for their community for a slight fee for anyone who would like to join in. And she said to him, she turned to John and said, you buy your lunch. You buy your lunch for me, and I will send you home with some leftovers. Every time you gain 4 pounds, you get to eat for free. Now, while the 4 pounds was kind of arbitrary, John took to it like a fish in water. And you should have seen the joy in his face the first time he came to lunch exclaiming, I get to eat for free! Through her care, he was blessed to be able to stay in the apartments for 2 more years. You see, Abraham and Sarai, called from where they were, from the place that they were, from the life that they knew, they set out. They were called from their people, from their country, from their family, from their homes, because God said, go to the land that I will show you. And they went. They didn't even know the destination. They only knew the promise of God. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great, and through you all families will be blessed. So Abram and Sarai went. May we all be so bold to believe in the promises of God. Amen. I invite you now to stand and to sing with us as we seek to set out and to go. Please stand.